let's look at the word that God has given us. It's Psalms chapter 105, verse 8 to 10. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. And also, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God is the God of covenant. God is the God of covenant. God is the God of covenant. He remembers the covenant that he has made, and he keeps it for eternity. Our faith is believing this fact, that God, he will surely keep the promises that he makes, and he rewards those who believe in him. And our faith, our life of faith, is until that covenant is fulfilled. It is living with our all might. So living with all our might, putting our life and death on the line. And mountain climbers, when they climb, if they let go of the rope, then they will die. And so with all their might, they hang on to the rope and they climb up. So it's our faith life is like that. We put all our might. God is spirit, and there is no similarity between us and God, but what connects us with God is faith. Without faith, we cannot please him, and without faith, we cannot go before him. And so without faith, we cannot go out before God, we cannot go near him, and even if we try to give to him, he cannot receive. And so because he put forth faith. Because of faith, we are able to go out before him, and we are able to receive what he gives to us. And so there is nothing greater than faith. And so some people say, love is truth. Is faith truth? But there's faith, hope, and love. All of them are important, but in the Bible it also says, but love is the greatest of them all. But still, while our flesh is living, we need to have faith, because without faith, we cannot see him. So faith is absolutely necessary. And there are a lot of requirements for faith, but we need to believe that God exists. Even though he is invisible to our eye, he exists. And the fact that we, how we express that we believe is that, is that we believe that Jesus Christ is living. If we believe that Jesus Christ, he came in flesh and he died on the cross and he resurrected, we believe that he is living. Also, what we need to believe is we need to believe his covenant. So there are many ways that we can express faith, but there is nothing more important than believing in his covenant. Because the covenant that he has made, he will surely fulfill it. And so these two things are the most basic and the most important. First, faith is believing in his existence, that God exists. Even the Jews believe this, but our faith, that is not enough, but we need to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ, he is living. And we also need to believe in God's covenant. In other words, we believe in the covenant of Jesus Christ. And so these two things are faith. How we need to read the Bible is, we need to believe the Bible as the covenant of God. it records God's covenant. And we can even say that it is the credit of God. How can we believe in God? We can believe in God because he is like this and that. And in the Bible, it's divided into the Old Testament and New Testament. Testament is like a will. And so when a person dies, the last will, like the last will that they give, it is sincere, it is true. So there's no one who is about to die and says, oh, I just said this for the sake of saying it. No, they don't do that. But on their deathbed, they, with all their will, with all they have, with all sincerity, they say what is the most important. And so testaments, it records God's schedule and how things were fulfilled. And when the promises that God made, how they were fulfilled and when they were fulfilled. And so all that content is, it is the schedule of God. And in the beginning, God gave a promise, but there is one who broke that covenant, and it is our ancestor, Adam. In the Garden of Eden, he had everything abundantly, and God told him, for your flesh, you can eat from any tree in the Garden of Eden, except, but do not eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And God firmly spoke this, but in that Garden of Eden, there was the devil, and in the form of a serpent, he deceived the woman. And he deceived Eve, saying, did God truly say, do not eat anything from any of the trees in the Garden of Eden? He said, you will not certainly die. And he said, wake up. This is God that you have never even seen before. How do you know that what he said will come true? He said, you will not die. You will not certainly die. And he also said, for you will be like God. And the woman could not overcome that temptation. And she sinned, and her husband also died. And they both sinned. And that sin entered into Adam. And all mankind, in order to pay that price of sin, they have come to the fate of going to hell with the devil. And so God casted them out of the Garden of Eden, and because they did not believe that things will not be fulfilled just as God spoke. And so they were casted out of the Garden of Eden, and in order for the mankind to be able to return to them someday, as they were casted out, he also gave them this prophecy that the offspring of the woman will come, and when the offspring comes, he will crush the head of the serpent, and the offspring of the serpent will strike his heel. And so he prophesied, he spoke about their relationship, relationship of the offspring of the man and of the woman and the serpent, and he laid down what will come and what will happen. And as his schedule continued, he called the people of Israel, and to the Israelites, in order to show them what his covenant is and how he will fulfill it, he called them out. And among the Israelites, God called Noah. And Noah, he was in Genesis 9, it says that Noah was already, God determined to bless Noah. And God told Noah that that there was the wickedness and evil was increasing in the world, and that he will wipe out everything, all that has breath in, all that breathes through his nostrils, that he will wipe them out through the flood. And God gave him the covenant command to build the ark so that Noah and his family can enter into the ark and be saved. And so God gave him a covenant saying that if you build an ark and if you bring in with you all the animals that I call, that I tell you, and along with your family, then you will be saved. And so how Noah was able to fulfill or carry out the covenant was, he was given a blueprint of the ark. God gave Noah a blueprint of the ark and how to build it, and so for 70 years, Noah and his family built the ark. He did not simply just hear the covenant and it was over, but he acted upon the covenant that God gave him, upon the commandments that God gave him as well. And so this is a shadow of what was to come. And Noah, he carried out just as God commanded him. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it says it like this. It says that by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. So by what? He did it by faith. By faith? By faith in what? By faith in God's covenant. And so by faith in God's covenant, in holy fear, he obeyed and built an ark and saved his family. And also, we can't leave out Abraham. Abraham, God called Abraham out of the land that he was living in, and he said to leave your father's land and go to the place that I have called you. So God told him, God commanded him to leave his father's home, and go to the promised land. And so when God gave him this word, Abraham, he believed that God will surely keep his promise, what he has said. And so without even looking back, not knowing where he was going, he went. And so he left behind his inheritance, his everything, his family. And the reason he was able to go was because he believed in that God will keep his promise. And he was 75 years old at that time. And afterwards, he came 99. God called him once again and said that your seed will grow and that you will become the father of many nations. And so at that moment, at that time, he did not have any sons. And between him and Sarah, there were no children, there were no sons. And so he thought, how can my offspring increase? And how can a king come? And how can I become a father of nations? And so he doubted, but God revealed to him, he came before him, and he said to Sarah, why do you laugh? And that there is nothing impossible for Jehovah. And so as soon as they heard this, they said, oh, I'm so sorry, please forgive me for my lack of faith. And they determined to believe, and they put effort. And because they believe that God will surely fulfill what he has promised, in Romans chapter 4, it says this. It says that they did not, that without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, and that he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. And so at that age, over 90, so physically, biologically, there is no way that they would be able to have a child, but they had Isaac. And they had that one, he bore his only son, Isaac. And when Isaac was about 20 years old, God tested, in order to test his faith, whether Abraham truly believed in God, in order to test his faith, God gave him a very heavy command. He commanded Abraham to give your son as an offering, as a sacrifice. to sacrifice his one and only son, and to so you have to first kill your sacrifice, and that flesh of that sacrifice, you have to burn it and burn it to ashes. And so God gave such a heavy request from Abraham. And Abraham, he heard this, and without even wavering, without any hindrance, without any doubt, he took his son and he went to the mountain that God commanded. And his son asked him, "Father, where are we going?" And Abraham said, "We are going to give worship, to give sacrifice." And the son said, "There is the fire and there is the wood, but there is no lamb." And so what did Abraham say? Abraham, there's a famous word that Abraham said. He said that God will provide for himself. That God will provide the young lamb for himself. And so when we think about it, how could he have had such great faith? And so God watches for people that he needs, and he watches them and he chooses them and calls them out and uses them. And us who have received the Holy Spirit, we go back and forth. We're constantly falling and getting back up and this and that. But him, there are many parts in the Bible where it is written about other people, about this person worried and this person was in destitute and this and that. But there is no word, there's no description like that about Abraham. And Abraham, he went all the way to the mountain, and it's a very high mountain. You can search it up. You can search it up on the internet, the mountain that Abraham went up, and it is a very high peak. And he took his son there, and at the moment when he lifted up his arm to kill his son, to give as a sacrifice, a voice came from heaven saying, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on your son." He said, "You did not withhold, you did not hold back your son, even your son. Now I know that you fear me." And so we sing it a lot, revere him. And so to revere God, when you believe so well, you revere. And so God said, "I did not realize that you believe in me this much." And God was moved, and he stopped Abraham from killing his son. And on that mountain, there was a ram caught in the bushes, and he allowed Abraham give that animal as a sacrifice. And according to Abraham's faith, God allowed him to give sacrifice to God. And after on, the descendants of Abraham, the sons of Abraham, God, he determined to take care of him and to bring the offspring through him. And so the Israelites became slaves of Egypt. So why did the people who were blessed by God become like that? God is the God of covenant. And through each person and through every generation and through different people, case by case, he allowed them to realize that God is the God of covenant, and that when he makes a covenant, that he fulfills them. And so every time and time, God chose people and used them in order to show that he fulfills his covenant. And so God chose different people throughout the generations to make this be known. And the offspring of Abraham, they came to be slaves of Egypt. And after 430 years, they were liberated from Egypt, and they left. So after 430 years, it's crazy how the people of Israel were not dispersed, but they were held together in that land. And for 430 years, while they were living in the land of Egypt, the descendants of Abraham, after 430 years, they came out of Egypt, and it was fulfilled just as God promised. In Genesis chapter 15, it was a time when, in Genesis 15, it was when Abraham still did not have any offspring, but God told him that you will go to a foreign land, to the promised land, you will go to a foreign land and you will have offspring. And in that place, they will become slaves of that nation. And after 430 years, they will come out with great possessions. And so through the offspring of Abraham, this was fulfilled. And so even after hundreds of years have passed, he shows that he does not forget and he fulfills it. And so through the work of Exodus, through the history of Exodus, it shows that even after 100 years, even after thousands of years, he remembers his covenant and keeps them. So it is like a credit score of God. And so God led them out to the desert. And in that desert, he did not tell them that you will live in the desert for eternity, but through that desert, you will go to the land. You will go to the land that has been promised to your ancestors, the promised land, and to the land of Canaan. God said that I will lead them. I will lead you. But he did not allow them to go straight forth, but he made them go through the desert. And so, like these days, if there was Google Map, and it would have been better if you led them through, looking through the map and leading them straight forth. But there's no way that God did not know. He knew, because this is the land that God created. But the reason why he made them go through the desert was to test them whether they have faith or not. And so God gave them commandments in order to test them whether they have faith or not. God gave them the law, the words of the commandments. God gave them the law. And it was given in order to test the Israelites, to test whether they had faith or not. What kind of faith? Faith that God will lead them, that God will take them to the promised land, the land that he promised to his ancestors. And in order to get there, they needed faith. And how they would express that faith was by keeping the commandments, by obeying the commandments. And if they didn't, if they disobeyed that, then they were punished. And so if they disobeyed without holding back, they were all put to death in the desert. And so about 200,000 came out of Egypt, and their wives and their children, but all of them, they died. They fell face forward, except for Caleb and Joshua. They all died because they had no faith. Only Caleb and Joshua were able to enter into the promised land, but Moses did not. Moses is the one who led them out, and Moses was the one. He was so close with God because he spoke in place of He spoke as a representative of God to the Israelites. Even this Moses, who was so close to God, who saw the glory of God, he did not enter into the promised land. Where does it say? It says it in Numbers. Numbers 20. So it shows, this is the event where he showed how important he regards his covenant and faith. And Numbers chapter 20, from verse 8 to 12, we can see why Moses was not able to enter into the land of Canaan. And so Moses, so when God led the people of Israelites, God gave them water by having Moses hit the rock and water gushed out. But in this event, in verse 7, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink.'" So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. And so, in conclusion, God tried to make them drink water from the rock, and to make them live. And so, what was wrong? That's what Moses did. But the problem was, what God promised and what God commanded was, God said, don't hit the rock, don't strike the rock, but command the rock. So to say to the rock, give out water. So that's what God told Moses. But whether Moses was so angry or whether he didn't hear right, maybe he couldn't hold back his anger. So many priests, many pastors say, there are many pastors who say that Moses could not enter into the land of Canaan because he had so much rage, he had so much anger, because the Israelites were so disobedient. And so it wasn't every day, but every few days, they were able to drink the water from the rock because he struck the rock or commanded the rock. And even though they ate the manna and they drank the water, they still complained and grumbled. And Moses, he said, every day he had the heart of saying, he had the heart, just kill me now or take me, because I am so sick and tired of these people complaining and grumbling. And so instead of commanding the rock to give out water, Moses said, you need to starve more, you need to thirst more, you need to wake up. And so Moses, he was so angry with the Israelites, and he struck the rock twice. And when he did, the water gushed out. And so the people, they did drink water. In the end, God gave them water, and God's covenant, God, his promise was fulfilled, that water would gush out and that they would drink and live. Just one thing was different. Moses, he struck the rock, but what's the difference between striking the rock and commanding the rock? Is it a big thing? To us, it's not a big thing, but whether he commanded the rock or struck the rock, the important thing is that they drank the water. But God, Lord, Jehovah, this loving Moses, out of all the Old Testament, there's no one who was so close to the Lord, so close to Jehovah. And so he was a servant that Jehovah cherished so much. But in the end, let's look again. In verse 13, in verse 12, it says, "But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough, because you did not trust me enough." And so did Moses not believe in his existence? He did. What did he not believe? He did not believe in God's covenant. He did not, it's not that he didn't believe the covenant, but he did not act according to the commandments. And so even Noah, he was saved because he did just as he was commanded. And so you have to hear what the command is and what must be done in the covenant and carry it out. And so Moses, he was such a great person. Right away he realized that he did wrong. And afterwards, when the people of Israelites, when they were brought into the land of Canaan, he went up on a hill and he took off the outer clothing that he was wearing. And as he watched the people of Israelites walk into the promised land, how sad must has his heart been. He probably repented to the point where his heart was just wrenching. And so such a person was... such a person was taking responsibility of all those people. And so he was a person of such great faith. And so even after seeing all this, the people of Israel, only a few people of faith, only the people who were born while in the desert, and only those who were born in the desert, and Joshua and Caleb, they entered into the promised land. But the stiff-necked people, the stiff-necked nation who did not listen to the words of God, it is not a natural instinct of God, but it is they have the characteristics of the devil, and they constantly disappointed God, and they were killed. And so through the prophets, God kept on being patient with them and kept on trying to lead them. But the covenant of Jehovah, because they disobeyed the covenant of Jehovah, God said, "I will also disown them," and they lost their power, their authority, and they lost their land, and they were taken as plunder, and the nation of Israel was destroyed, and the few people of Israel, of that nation, were left behind in that land. And they, because God said, "I am your God," they believed that they will one day, there will be a day when they will be restored. They had the hope. And so they did not leave the land of Jerusalem or the temple, and there were a few who kept that place. And while this was happening, there was a man named Jesus Christ who appeared. And what did Jesus say looking towards the temple? He said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." And this is the temple of his body. And they said, "It has taken so many years. It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you were going to raise it in 3 days? That doesn't make any sense," they thought. But the temple he had spoken of was not of the building, but the temple he had spoken of was his body. And the death, so destroying it was the death of his body, and raising it up was his resurrection, the temple of his body. And what is in the temple? What was in the temple? In the temple of Jerusalem, it had the name of Jehovah, and the name of Jehovah is what? He is the God of what? He is the God of Israel. And also, he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of Israel, and he is the God of the 12 nations, and he is the God of flesh. And so we say the God he is the God of the nation of Israel, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. But we also, when we say who's God, we need to realize he is the God of flesh, of the body, because God created all of them, but he determined to become the God of that nation, the nation of the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But why did God call out just them, and why did God call them his nation? Why did he say that? Why did they call him his people? Why was he, he needs to be a fair God, but these days, even nations, with politics, and so all the nations, they stress equality. And why was he not being equal? Because God is who? God is the God of covenant. And he spoke his covenant, and he showed that he will keep his promises, his covenant. And through the people of Israel, he made them experience it, and he gave them evidence of who he is. And so when we know all this, it will be so much more simple to understand God, because God wants us to know that he is the God of covenant. Without covenant, can we know God or not? If there is no covenant between God and man, can we know God? We cannot. We cannot even meet him. We cannot have a relationship with him. But God, in order for us to have a covenant with him, he called out one nation, and who is the ancestor of that nation is Abraham. The ancestor of faith is Abraham, and he built up that Abraham become the father of nation, because he received such a covenant, and he kept he obeyed and kept all the covenant. And to those who believed in God's covenant and promises and kept them, we call them ancestor of faith. And so the God of flesh. So it says that the Israelites, they kept the law. So the commandments, what kind of commandment? He gave, they kept the commandment in Hebrews chapter 7. In chapter 7, it's the law, the command that God gave. If you keep the law, if you keep the commandments, where will you go? You will go to the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land promised to your ancestors. You will, because God gave this covenant, that you will go there and live there, because they did not keep this, they were destroyed. But he said, what I am telling you to destroy is, meaning that covenant is now is over. The promise that I gave to Israel, that covenant is over, because he is no longer the God of flesh, but he is not a God who is a God of flesh, who makes relationship with the flesh, but he is the God of spirit, and he is the God of the spirit of all nations. And so in Hebrews chapter 12 as well, chapter 12, 9, it also says, he is the God of all nations. And because he wanted to give this promise to all the nations, he said, if you believe in me, if you believe in me, then you will go to the Father's house and live for eternity. Where is that eternal house? The Father's house? It is in the third heaven, in the spiritual heaven, the heaven where the spiritual beings live. It is not where our flesh lives, and our flesh lives for a long time, but he said, you will go to the Father's house in the spiritual heaven, the third heaven, and live for eternity. And as soon as Jesus began his public life, those who he sought, those who have faith. So every time Jesus did works, he saw their faith. And so even when the paralyzed man came to be healed, came before Jesus and healed him, he saw his faith and healed him. And there was a woman who was bleeding for 12 years. And so it said that she was bleeding for 12 years, and she sought so many doctors, but they could not heal her. But she came to Jesus, but she could not go near him because there was such a big crowd, and she, with her body that was bleeding, she made herself way up to Jesus, and she thought to herself, if I even touch even his cloak, then she would be healed. And as soon as she touched him, she was healed. And Jesus turned around to her and he said, your faith has healed you. And even the blind man, he came to Jesus and said, do you believe that I can do this? And he said, I believe that you can. And he was healed. And there was a woman whose daughter was possessed by a demon. And because she wanted her daughter to be healed, she came to Jesus and said, even though she was a Gentile, she said, heal, please help me, please help me. And people said, you're a Gentile, just go away. She kept on calling out to him. Jesus, frustrated, he said to her, I have been sent to the, he said, I have been sent to call those lost, in Israel. He said, I was not sent to call out the Gentiles. And it was compared to dogs. Gentiles were compared to dogs. But the woman said, even I'm okay if I'm a dog. Dogs even eat the table that has fallen from their masters. And so when Jesus heard her say this, he was amazed. He was moved by her and said, because of your faith, your daughter has been healed. And so by seeing their faith, he allowed all of them to be healed from whatever was possessing them. And so the prayer of faith, if you say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, it will happen. And so the work, the power of faith, the power of faith and the prayer of faith, he showed how great it is. And his disciples. And so because the people did not believe in Jesus, how this great Jesus, how great he is, and so among his disciples, there was a disciple who wanted to sell Jesus, who wanted to give out Jesus because he wanted people to see how great of a person he was, and maybe they would take him as king. And so maybe by giving up Jesus, that they will be able to start a revolution. And so there was an event where even this disciple who was deceived, he sold Jesus. But Jesus, the one who raised even the dead, he was dragged away and he died on the cross. And he did not speak up. He did not speak up even once. But he received the punishment as is. And as he died, what did he say? He said, "It is finished." What did he finish? Let's look in Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So the Lord of faith. So the moment he died on the cross, he became the Lord of faith. And so it says, he is the creator of faith, the pioneer of faith. He is the pioneer, and the creator of faith. It says that he is the pioneer, and he's the creator and the finisher. So he is the creator and the finisher of faith. He is the one who created faith and who started faith and who finished it. When did he start? When did he begin? When did he create faith? When did he establish this faith? In the beginning. And so, the beginning of faith, the idea of faith, when he established this was in the beginning when he was the Word. And so at the reason why he created all creation, among all his creation, in order to his idea of saving the one with faith, he set this forth at the beginning when he was the word and faith. They are an absolute relationship, the Word of God and the faith of man. It is an absolute relationship. And he determined this. He set this in John chapter 1, verse 1. He came, he was born through the body of a woman, and he lived and he breathed and he lived and died just like man. How can he be the Lord of faith? But he says to believe by what? He said, to believe by the works I have done. And during his days of public life, he healed so many people. He healed hundreds and thousands of people. And why did he do this? Because even though he healed them, they will still die someday. But why did he heal them? He healed them by seeing their faith. And he set this law of being healed by faith. And so he determined this from the beginning. And so faith is what? Faith is believing. What did we say in the very beginning? We have to believe in his existence, that Jesus, today in our days, we believe that Jesus Christ, he is living. And also, we have to believe that he fulfills his covenant. And so Jesus, he said, even though I die, I will, even though I die, I will live. And so those who believe in me, you will also live. And so Jesus, as he died on the cross, he set this regulation of faith. So this faith of idea, this idea of faith, when it was completely fulfilled, was at the moment of his death on the cross. And so it says that he is the, by dying according to his commandment, in John it says that he has authority to lay down his life and lift it up again. And so his death was obeying the commandment of the Father, because the Father, there was the promise that the Father will raise him up again. And so he believed in the promise of the Father, of the commandment of the Father, and he laid down his life. And so he looked forward to the joy set before him, and he obeyed, and he died. He obeyed to the point of death on the cross, and now he resurrected and sits on the throne. And he condemned the devil who put in that seed of doubt. And through his death, he also redeemed. He redeemed, atoned for all men, the sins of all men, and set them free. But not all mankind have come to life, but only those who receive the blood of God, receive the blood of Jesus, the blood of the covenant. Those who have believed, he saved, he allowed them to become a living being. So the blood of Jesus, it entered who? The blood of Jesus enters those who believe in him, those who receive him, who believe in his name. In John 1:12, it says, we believe in who? We believe that he is the Son of God who was sent by God. Those who believe in his name, to those who have received his blood, he has saved their souls. And so he has saved their spirit and made them a living spirit. And so they become living spirit. And those, it says that they receive the authority. They receive the right to become his children. It says those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God in John 1:12. Those who receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So the right to become children of God, he allows them to become children of God. Not only that, but he allows them to also have that authority. And because Jesus finished his work, he resurrected, ascended to heaven, he sits on the throne, and he is the one who sits on the right seat on the throne for eternity. And just as he promised, after a few days, he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came. And so we say he is the Spirit of Covenant. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Covenant. And who does the Holy Spirit come into? The Spirit of Covenant come into? He comes into the living spirits. Living spirits who are living by the blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus who died according to the covenant, according to the commandment of the Father, So his blood, where the covenant of God was fulfilled, because that blood comes into us, we receive the blood of covenant and have become living spirits. Say amen. If you are living, are you truly living now? Do you truly believe that you are living now? Even if you do the wrong things, even if you sinned, are you still living? Even last week I said the blood of Jesus and the flesh of Jesus, the function is different. The blood of Jesus, you receive forgiveness of sins from your past sins, but now that living spirit that has come to life, you have to eat the food of your spirit. Say amen if your spirit is living. And so when we look at the image of the event when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, as soon as the Holy Spirit came, those who received the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues just as the Spirit enabled them. So in Acts chapter 2, the moment when the Holy Spirit came, when we go, in chapter 2, it says that just as the Holy Spirit enabled them, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And so to the living spirits, the Spirit enabled them. That is tongues. So up until then, there was this mention of tongues. There was no mention of it in the Old Testament at all. But to those who have come to life by the blood of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit and filled them, they spoke in other tongues. And for the first time in the Bible, it spoke about tongues. Because in the past, before then, there was no spirit. There was no spirit who was living. Because I spoke last week. So we have to know this for certain, that before we received the blood of Jesus, there was not a single being whose spirit was living. Even Moses, even that David who was so famous, there was none whose spirit was living. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. So if there's someone new, all of this might not make sense, but most of us have completed Logos, and so we need to know this for sure. Chapter 11, verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And so all these people in Hebrews chapter 11, they were all people of faith in the Old Testament. And so all the examples, all those, even though they spoke about this person who died for their faith and this and that, all these people of faith, these were all people of faith, but they were people of faith in the Old Testament. And what did I say about them? Their spirit was dead because of the original sin that they inherited from Adam. Their spirit was all dead. And even though, yet, they were all commended their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. And so through many different situations and circumstances, they were commended for their faith, but they did not receive what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And so only together with us, the people in the New Testament. So it's saying that the people of faith in the Old Testament, even though their spirit was dead, their faith was alive. We need to distinguish them. Their spirit was dead, but their faith was alive. And so their spirit was dead because of the original sin that they inherited from Adam. But because of their faith, they were commended as righteous. But these people, it says that only together with us, they would be made perfect. The people in the New Testament. And so this would make sense when we know, only if we knew the story of Jonah. During the time of Jonah, God told him that I will judge the people of Nineveh and go to them and speak to them. But Jonah, he said, I don't want to go. And he finally went. But as well, the people there were, it was very on the way. There was a great storm. And he said, just throw me overboard and let me die. And so these people, they threw Jonah over the boat. And at that moment, the great fish came out and swallowed him. And so the huge fish swallowed him, and for 3 days. And after 3 days, the fish threw him back up onto the land of Nineveh. And so in the stomach of the great fish, how disgusting must have it been? But he came out to the land of Nineveh, and he did not even proclaim in a loud voice, but he just said to them, repent, repent. And as soon as they heard this, they did, and they were saved. And so just like this, when Jesus died on the cross, he died with sin. He died on the cross with the sin of all mankind. So he died with the sin of Adam. So it's like the people who were on the boat with Jonah. When Jesus was alive, he died with the sins of all the people. When Jesus died, he died with the sins of all the people in the New Testament. But after Jesus resurrected, even all the people, all the spirit of all the people, even in the Old Testament, came to come alive, because the blood of Jesus was sprinkled on all. And so those who had faith in the Old Testament, their spirit came to life as well. Those who were found as having living faith. And so Jesus Christ, he died taking all the sins of all mankind, and the blood that he shed, those who receive the blood that he has shed, he allowed them to come to life. And so now that we are living, what do we need as evidence? If we're living, then we speak. But if we're living, what we need to do is, as evidence, we need to pray. If I, the Spirit that has been saved by the blood of Jesus. So if I, the Spirit, is living by the blood of Jesus, then I, the Spirit, needs to pray now. And so now, the evidence that the Holy Spirit, as soon as the Holy Spirit came, those who received the blood of Jesus, he allowed them to speak tongues. And so he showed evidence that the blood of Jesus is in you. The Holy Spirit testifies of who? The Holy Spirit testifies that Jesus is living. And he also says, your spirit that has the blood of Jesus is also living. The Holy Spirit testifies that you are living by the blood of Jesus. Say amen if you speak in tongues. Whether you speak in tongues or not, it's important. So why could he could give? I don't really need the gift of tongues. I need the gift of love, gift of this and that, of teaching this and that. Some say it's a very strange sound. Some say, oh, who can't do that? I can make that noise. Yes, you can imitate that sound, but you can't continue. You don't have the power. You don't have the faith, because the one who allows you to speak, the Holy Spirit enables you to speak tongues. And so say amen if you believe that you have the blood of Jesus. Say amen if your spirit is living. How do you know? Because I can speak in tongues, because I have started to speak in tongues. And so it is evidence that the blood of Jesus is in me. So say, I, the Spirit, am a living spirit. And when we look at Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. And so by the Spirit, they utter mysteries. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So mysteries is things that people cannot understand. So God understands, but people cannot understand. And so that sign, that mark, say amen if you receive the Holy Spirit. How do you know? You say, oh, I am filled with love. I am overflowing with love, because there were so many I hate, but now I am overflowing with love. Yes, continue. But that's not it. The certain mark that you have received is that your spirit speaks in tongues. And so there were a lot of talks about this, but Paul says, it says, now brothers and sisters, you pray in by your spirit and you pray in your heart as well. So how can you realize that you have, that I have a living spirit, it's by speaking in tongues. And so praying in tongues will come much more easily, probably more than the word, my words. So if I speak in tongues, it is evidence that the Holy Spirit is in me, and that that the blood of Jesus is in me. And so he has enabled us in order to, he has enabled to us to pray in tongues so that our spirit can have our daily bread. He has commanded us to pray. So in the law of Moses, there they say that there's 617 laws, but in, among all those laws, there are none that says to pray. There's no law, there's no command that says to pray. Commandment. But Jesus instructed, he commanded, pray like this, pray such as this. It's a commandment. Jesus said, if you pray, then my Father will receive glory. And if you pray, then I will fulfill it. I will do it. Whatever you pray in my name, I will do it. And so this is the covenant of Jesus, and this is the covenant of Christ, and this is the promise of covenant, a promise of Christ. And so you don't pray, you don't pray only when you need to, and not pray when you don't need to, but we have to pray every day because my spirit needs to eat my daily bread, the bread of my spirit, the bread of my spirit, the bread of life. And so prayer, it is beneficial to me because he hears my prayer as well, but more important than that, my spirit, it is important because my spirit needs to receive my daily bread. And so we need to pray in spirit as well as in our heart. And so when we pray in spirit, I don't know and my neighbor doesn't know, but God knows. Only God knows. And so it is prayer that receives answer 100%. And so even though you may seek by your heart, God does not answer prayers when you seek after your carnal ways, after your fleshly desires. But when we pray in tongues, you don't pray for things for your flesh, but only what your spirit desires. And so we have to pray in spirit, and we have to pray in our heart as well, by our heart as well. And so prayer, it is a command. It is a commandment that has promise. So it is a commandment. It is a covenant that he promises with his children. So the law was promises given to servants, but it is now a commandment that has to do with our spirit. We have to pray. When we pray, he also listens to our desires, our hopes, but prayer is also the daily bread for our spirit. Who do we need to pray to? We have to pray to our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. And the reason why he spoke this was because he is not only the creator, but he is our Father. He is the Father of the Spirit. And so you have to pray. You have to pray as a child of God with the right that he has given us. In the old days, beggars would come and pray, and the beggars will come and sing and entertain in order to beg. But he said, don't babble like a pagan, because your Father already knows what you need. Wouldn't he give you what is best? He says, what father would give him a stone when the child asks for bread? And so lay your heart down, and with the right of being his child, you need to pray with the authority that he has given us. And so he said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And so when do we say I do? At wedding ceremonies, they say, will you take your husband or wife, this person as your lawfully wedded wife or husband? They raise their right hand and say, I do. Say, I will protect you. I will do it. And so we have to say, I will do it. I will pray. Those who don't pray commit what kind of sin? They commit the sin of not having faith. even though he has given us the commandment, just like those who did not enter into the promised land because they did not believe, we don't listen. So we constantly don't listen, and what will happen? Even no matter how many times you come to the worship service, or even though you may seem like you are obeying, saying amen and doing this and that, if we don't pray, what do we need to do with prayer? We have to pray every day, daily, all the time. Amen. And with what kind of attitude? We have to do it earnestly. We have to do it. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. And so when you seek by faith, we should not doubt, because if we doubt, we will be like the waves blown in the wind. It will be like those who are double-minded, those who are doubt. And so when we pray, we need to pray with the faith that we will receive, and we have to pray. We have to pray fervently. And if there are those who are sick, then we have to pray that they will be healed, because the prayer of faith will heal even those who are ill. So if there's someone who is ill, those who are sick among us, do not worry, but pray. And also it says pray for gifts. Pray for gifts. There are so many different kinds of gifts. There are abilities, power to understand the word, the wisdom of the word, knowledge of the word, and even proclaiming the word, delivering the word. So I pray for this every day, to understand the truth. If there's still a part of the truth that I do not understand, help me to let me realize it, let me understand it, and let me deliver it. Let me proclaim it without leaving even a word out. And help me to proclaim it so that the word can work. And so you may say, when I first received grace, I loved the words of the pastor. How can she speak like that? It's because, that person may pray. The person who just received grace, they say pray. They pray, please give the pastor the wisdom of the word, the knowledge of the word, the inspiration of the word, the power of the word. So aren't you envious of having that power? How I can know the Bible so well, how I know the Bible more and more, and how the word it falls exactly. That what I preach falls exactly with the word. How can I do this? It is only through prayer. That Jesus said that these things cannot be healed. It can only be done by prayer. And let me not send away those who are ill or those who are sick, or let me pray. Let me send them away by healing them by prayer. So we have to pray every day. So didn't those people do such great works by prayer? All the results of great works are only through prayer. If we are lacking wisdom, then we need to pray for wisdom. Wisdom. So wisdom is so important. Understanding the word. Understanding the word, hearing the word, and understanding and delivering the word is also wisdom, but even wisdom in life, in deciding things, whether it's a coworker or friend, or it's a person that I'm dealing with in work. You might have built such great relationships, but with even just one word, that relationship can be completely destroyed. And so this mouth of mine, this tongue of mine, let me not babble anything, but please give me wisdom. Because by one word, a person can be moved. By one word, that person can be moved in heart, and not that person might be moved so much that they will give what I want. And not only that, but give even more. And so we need to have wisdom. God, please give me wisdom. And especially those, my coworkers, and those that I'm planning with, and those I'm working with, I need wisdom when I'm dealing with them. God, please give me wisdom. we have to pray. We have to pray. And lastly, let the doors of evangelism be open to us. Paul said, let the doors of evangelism be opened. And so all of us who believe in Jesus, we have to evangelize. And when we do, we have to pray that the doors of evangelism be open so that we can meet souls. It's just as God allowed Cornelius to meet Peter. And just as Peter met Cornelius, let me meet those, let me meet disciples, my disciples. We need to pray. We need to pray for the doors to be open. And so this person of prayer, through this person of prayer, God receives glory. Because God is who? God certainly fulfills, he surely fulfills what he has promised, his covenant. And so for that, we have to, through the answers to our prayers, we have to give glory to God. And through the fruits of our prayer, we need to have earnest heart. We need to have testimonies that God is living. And through the testimonies that he allows us to lead souls and allows us to take care of souls. Let's pray.